Now we turn to fields far from the ones we know, where a great hammer strikes down upon a blade forged from the heart of a dying star. The reverberations of the great blow echo through the billion worlds, cut into a thousand roaring screams along the keen edge of the weapon. Their voices cry out in unison, and the word sounded throughout the universe is... Doom.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 6 of
Doomed Prophecy.
I've still got just a little bit of low voice, which isn't going to make any sense to any of you guys, because this is airing before episode 5. Anyway.
Episode 6-ish.
Ish, yeah. I'm here with Brett. How's it going?
It's going great.
Yeah.
We got rules.
So, as far as news goes, as I promised, and actually, this is important, because that other episode won't be out yet, Crucible is hosting Marvel Crisis Protocol stuff in Florida from September 30th to October 2nd. It's a good event. I've heard awesome things about it from other game systems as well, so I highly recommend checking it out. And then, basically, the news is that we've got Sentinels rules, and we're going to talk about them now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
So, Sentinels is a really cool faction... because unlike every other affiliation in the game, they let you play two of the same model,
mm-hmm.
which is...
Yeah, because there's supposed to be lots of these giant robots.
Right, and because otherwise it would be like, well, we have the special one and we have the normal one, and then what? It's like, well...
Well, Bucky.
Yeah. Yep. Pretty much. So...
Cassandra Nova, I guess.
And Cassandra Nova, yeah. But... That's not what they decided to do. They decided to give us a really reasonable price on these things, and they're going to be super cool to paint and see on the table. So we got their cards today.
Still the most shocking part is how quickly they came out and how reasonable the price point is.
Yeah, I believe for anybody in the U.S., it's $65 for the two less special dudes, and then $55 for the special dude. Retail, so I think, because I usually get like a 15-20% discount, that's going to be approximately $90, 95,
which is not bad at all for the entire affiliation.
Also,
as we keep talking about them, you're going to splash these guys a lot.
Probably, yeah. There's a lot of things that they do that are interesting, and just to put that price tag in perspective, $90 is like 2.5 GWHQ models. So that's nothing in the mini world.
Yeah, and I think they're poseable too, so you can.
I think they have ball socket arms. Yeah.
Yeah, so you can make really unique poses.
Yeah. Apparently, the thing to do is to put a giant magnet in the center, and then put stainless steel ball bearings inside the arm slots, okay. So that they can be moved after you magnetize them.
Oh my god.
I don't know if I'm going to do that, but it sounds kind of cool and I kind of want to try it.
Right. What's the worst that could happen?
I'd have to buy a new kit. That's the worst that could happen.
Stairs in Spider-Man.
I speak from experience. Seriously. Yeah, so let's, I guess, talk about these. Let's go over the cards and then we'll talk about our thoughts and where we're thinking that these might see some play. Shall we do the fun one first, or shall we do the less fun ones first?
Well, so I think the interesting thing is that they are very similar. So it's actually, I think we should go over the basic one and then just talk about the differences.
Okay. So the basic Mark IV Sentinel is a 4-threat character, and that's lower than I was expecting, to be honest.
Way lower than I was expecting.
Yeah, I was expecting 2 5s and a 6, but it is not.
But they wouldn't function, right?
Yeah, you literally could not play this affiliation of 14 then. So
well, you could if you took affiliated.
Yeah. Like all right.
5-5-6-3.
Sure, that would work. Let's see. They move small, which is expected because they're on 65 mil bases. They are 7 stamina on the front, 6 on the back, so that's pretty good for a 4. That's like actually really good for a 4.
It's so. If you read the article that I'm going to be publishing this time, you will see that that is a little bit above average for a 4 threat.
Yeah. And then I'm going to come back to their size in a minute because it's the most interesting part about that part. They have 3 physical defense, which makes no sense to me since these are giant armor and robots. They have 4 energy.
To make them weak to Wolverine.
Oh, gosh. You're right, and I hate it. They have 4 energy and 4 mystic defense. So, you know, not terrible, but the 3 physical is a little bit rough. And then here's the really interesting part. They're size 5.
Don't forget that they get double wilds against mystic. So they actually are really good against mystic attacks.
That's true. That's very true. Get wrecked convocation. Malekith existing wasn't enough for you guys to suck anyway. So the super interesting part about their card, though, is that these are the second size 5 characters in the game. And Dormammu was the first.
Correct.
So the number of things that can innately, like, superpower throw size 5s is, I think, nothing. Nothing superpower throws a size 5 baseline, right?
I believe that's correct.
There is a tactics card which lets you throw size 5 things, and some characters...
both Hulks.
Hulk and She-Hulk. Hey, I think that's not as uncommon as you expect.
There are a handful of sizeless throws on attacks.
Yeah, so things like Thanos, he has a sizeless throw. I believe Thor's doesn't have a size restriction, does it?
I don't know why. So I thought Rogue's didn't, and then I realized it was restricted to size 4.
Okay, hold on. Confirming. Because this is...
I know Hulk's Spender is sizeless.
Okay.
His superpower requires size 4.
Yeah, all the superpowers are locked at size 4. Thor's is also size 4. So yeah, there's like a couple.
Red Guardian's card is sizeless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's really not a whole lot of ways to throw these things or to push them.
Why are we talking about throws, Jaden?
Well, because they're size 5, so they do 6 damage if they hit something.
No, I meant in the context of pushing.
Oh, well, that's a great question, and it's because they're really basically impossible to push, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, can't be advanced. Yeah, they have ignoring pushing or advancing from mystic attacks and superpowers.
Yeah, they ignore superpower pushes. All web lines are sizeless. All variants of it.
Mm.
So, and they just ignore all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Most attack pushes are sized now, especially the Wakandan ones.
Yeah. Oh, another character that has sizeless throws is Malekith on Ferocity, I believe.
Of course it does.
Yep. I'm pretty sure. Hold on. Double checking, because this is, again, important. Ferocity. Yeah, may throw the target character. No size. We have thoughts about Malekith into these guys. We'll get to that later. We've already mentioned they can't be moved or pushed by attacks or mystic attacks or superpowers, which is real good. They get 2 successes for each wild on their defense roll against mystic attacks, which is sure spicy.
So they're starting pretty similar to Juggernaut, which is a good place to be.
Yeah, seriously, like Juggernaut is a really good character, and starting close to him is a good thing. Now, they also have flight. That's a good rule. Although it's actually completely useless on a size 5 character, isn't it?
I believe it affects the Quinjet.
Sure. Okay. They have a thing that gives them 2 power at the end of their activation, which is, like, it's better than not getting it at all, but it's an awkward place to do it.
It's actually really clever. So it's a good way to get around turn 1 shenanigans.
Yes.
Like Power Stone stuff.
Yeah. And I'm going to be honest, I bet AMG are kind of like kicking themselves that this isn't what they did first.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. This would have changed a lot of the problems that the games had. They also, the baseline ones have a special rule that lets you include 2 of them instead of 1 of them in a roster, which is important because you need the second one for the affiliation to function. And then they also have a superpower called Restraint Cables, which is basically webline, right?
Yep.
It's literally webline. No size restriction, just range 4, push it towards you short, once per turn, 2 power, which is a very, very, very good rule.
Yep. And so do not forget that you can push through yourself once you get really close.
Yep. So I think that, you know, that is a super duper solid base to start from. Just based off the superpowers and the profile, I actually kind of like these guys in Avengers, because traditionally Avengers kind of suck into mystic attacks, and they don't have a ton of control other than like Hulk Chuck stuff, and a few things can push things, but they're size locked. These guys are like, you know, a spider dude on steroids as far as that goes.
Yes, Sam.
Yeah, like, gosh, Sam with one or two of these things? That sounds awful. Anyway, onto their attacks. They have a range 3, strength 4 plasma blast, which sounds garbage, and it kind of is. It's a builder, so you get power equal to the damage itself, but...
It's actually grown
up. It's a spender, so you can also pay extra power up to 3 to add an additional dice per power. Which I think is a really interesting design, and I'm glad they're kind of exploring it, because it's really clever.
Yes. It does, on their front side, leaves you with the question of why you would ever do Spender, but there is a reason for it on the back side.
Yeah. Speaking of the Spender, it's a strength, range 3 also, strength 8 physical attack that costs 3 power, and has on a wild, each wild, you get to give the character that you targeted Incinerate, Shock, or Slow. So you can just hand out a million million status effects and just be like, nee.
And 2 out of the 3 best status effects in the game.
Incinerate and slow.
Shock.
Okay. And then, oh, the hex would be the other one.
Really your turn. Yeah. Hex is the other one.
Yeah. So, yeah, like all in all, that's pretty solid. Now on the back, it gets worse significantly. First of all, it only has 6 health. So, that's worse. It's everything stays the same except for a couple things. First of all, it loses its power matrix, the thing that gives it 2 power at the end of its activation, only gives it 1 power because now it's damaged. So that's worse. The other thing is its builder goes from range 3 to range 2.
It's
not a builder anymore at all, which is really bad. And it has some funky rules that hurt itself. So for every critical you roll, you get 2 extra dice, which is sick. But also you take a damage after the attack for each critical you rolled, which sucks. So I don't actually know how to feel about that side of the character, because it's really much, much, much worse.
Okay, so think about it this way. Mm-hmm. It has 7 health. And it's going to be using almost exclusively its builder.
Sure.
And it's going to be, you know, only spending like 2 extra power per turn, and it makes 3 a turn. So like...
Okay. Yeah, so by the time you're on your injured side, you should just be at 10.
Right. And so what's going to happen is you're going to go spender, spender, pull, and they're going to go, what the hell just happened?
That's true.
And then it'll probably die.
And that'll be okay, because it's already done enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that being a thing.
Yeah, for a 4-point model, like I prefer models where a lot of their power is front loaded. Mm-hmm. And that's very clearly the case here.
Yeah.
I think having so like if dice go your way, it has a 7 die builder.
Right.
Well, and it's energy.
Yeah.
And it's range 3.
Mm-hmm.
On a huge base. Like
Right. Yeah, and I think there's a, like, the standout things for me about these guys is huge base, always strong. And then just size 5 is so freaking important. Like, the number of control and displacement effects that this gets to completely ignore because it's size 5 is most of the game.
Yep. Well, so, yeah, if you think about Juggernaut, like, they have their extremely large, like Juggernaut, and they have Juggernaut's helmet, but they have it on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a character pool on both sides, unlike Juggernaut.
Right.
It has to be injured, and then he loses the immunity to pushes.
Right. Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of really interesting things going for them. I really do think that Sam Avengers will play one, maybe two of these guys at some point here, as, like, instead of going 7 wide at 20, you probably go 6 wide and play 2 of these. Like, That's a ton of crowd control and also just objective sustain, right? Because being able to move one of these guys short with Sam's leadership is a long freaking distance. And, right. and healing one of them is also very good. And then the other thing is they're really good into mystic stuff, and Avengers has traditionally been quite weak into lots of mystic attacks.
So, yeah. So if you think of these as juggernauts with, you know, Gwen's webline, like those are two of the best characters in the game to be imitating, right?
Right. And it's the happy medium of being right between them and threat level also.
Yes. And they also do decent damage. But so I feel like a lot of the time, especially these guys, or especially the non-special ones, are going to be, we're going to walk onto a point, we're going to stand on that point, we're going to move everyone else off it, and then we're going to just make attacks whenever we can. They're going to be scenario monsters. They almost single-handedly shut down Web Warriors.
Oh, they, yeah, absolutely.
Can you imagine playing Web Warriors into the Sentinels affiliation?
Can you imagine playing Web Warriors into Criminal Syndicate's Kingpin with two of these?
That's also good.
Yeah.
As I'm painting Kingpin.
Yep. Yeah, I think like Kingpin's going to love these. Avengers is going to love these. I think, weirdly, X-Men don't hate these because they're, you know, giant base to displace off of Storm's leadership. I'm kind of curious about them in Blade's affiliation, the name of Midnight Suns. Hey, I found it before you reminded me.
Yeah, that'd be really good.
I'm getting there.
So the one I like is Convocation.
Yeah, because
so whenever they're damaged, they get placed within one. And Ironbound Books means that their physical weakness turns into a mystic strength.
Right, because they get to use their mystic defense, right?
No, they turn it into a mystic attack.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah, so they get to use the wild thing.
Okay. Yeah, I think there's all kinds of interesting places to splash these guys, which is really cool, actually. Like, I like the idea that you can just sort of grab these massive robot things and put them in your list. Like, that's a really interesting idea to me.
Yeah, they don't strictly replace Juggernaut, because Juggernaut is a lot faster.
Juggernaut is ridiculously much faster, yes.
But for a point cheaper, I think they're going to see a lot of use.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think that's at least not a hot take. I think it's probably a very lukewarm take.
Yeah.
All right, shall we talk about the big boy?
Yeah, Prime.
Prime. First of all, he's 5 threat. So, yes. But that extra point of threat gets you a lot of stuff. He's still...
Especially health. Oh yeah, my God.
All of his front stats are the same, except for, instead of being 7 health on the front, he's 10 health on the front. And boy, 10 health is a lot.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Okay, so we're 3 health ahead of the normal version so far.
So the other interesting's...
More than the average difference between a 4 threat and a 5 threat already.
Yes. The builder attack goes to strength 5 base, which is really good. And you can still do the same charge it up thing that you can do on the normal ones. So he can be up to an 8 dice builder, quote unquote. His spender is exactly the same, except for it costs 1 extra power and it gets 1 extra strength. So yeah. I think I don't know either. I feel like, honestly, that's a bit of a nerf to that particular one.
Yeah.
You'll be using his builder most of the time anyway.
Especially once we finish this card, yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about his affiliation bonus in a sec, but he also has something called pattern analysis, which is basically he can spend some dice to, like, well, it's not even just him. It's him or an ally character with range 4. He can spend up to 3 and reroll 3 dice in the defense roll. So it's kind of just like having Shuri rerolls on a 5 threat that can kill things.
On a huge base.
On a huge base.
Shuri's only range 3.
That sounds right, yeah. So that's really, really strong.
So you're going to be saving a lot of power for that.
Yes, and that's, I think, going to be part of the trick that makes the... When you're playing in affiliation, it's going to make the other Sentinels a lot beefier than they look like they are on paper. Because he also gets the extra power every turn. He's going to be making a lot of power with his build spender, hopefully. And, you know, that's all very good. Now, the other thing that he does is his affiliation for Sentinels is when an enemy character is dazed, after resolved, choose a number of allied characters equal to the dazed character's threat value. I love this specification. We'll talk about why in a second. And then each chosen character gains a power and can't gain more than one power from the leadership per turn. Now, here's why I love the fact that they chose threat value as the thing for this. It completely ignores grunts.
What? Why do you love that?
Grunts
are way too strong.
I don't like grunts, and so I want them to be excluded from the game as much as possible. Partially I also just think because it would be, for these guys in particular, it would be way too easy to just be like, here's a bunch of power as they kill grunts. But I just like that as a concept, they've figured out how to exclude grunts without the wording being really, really stupid. I guess is more what I'm saying. Is like, from a rule design perspective, they figured out language that lets them ignore grunts without writing a paragraph that says, excluding grunt models, blah, 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 blah.
It just says non-grunt.
Okay, well.
Sam's leadership does it. So let's talk about the weird things about this leadership. So okay. First off, didn't they just print this? First the Black Order is
okay. Oh yeah, it is First the Black Order. Yeah.
So here's how it's different than First the Black Order.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't care about the affiliation of what you're giving it to.
That's important.
In theory, it can give more power. In practice, you're going to be playing a bunch of expensive models, so I don't see that happening.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work on KO, which is freaking bizarre.
Yeah, that is a really strange thing. I guess it's because probably from a fluff perspective, the Sentinels are supposed to contain things. So if they killed stuff, they've done their job badly and the press is going to get mad at whoever's controlling them at the time.
I think that's also why they don't have any terrain throws.
Probably, yeah.
But it does mean that their leadership's just kind of going to run out of juice. And it's not especially strong leadership to start with.
That's true.
Though the one interesting thing is that it just says an enemy gets dazed. It doesn't care how.
Yeah. So crisis things can daze them.
That one doesn't work. Because here's a rule I learned today.
Okay.
If something says once per turn, it has to happen during a turn.
Ah. Okay. So a throw or a status effect or a bleed, some kind of retaliatory superpower.
Bob killing himself.
Yep.
Oh, gosh. Or doing himself.
Yep.
Yeah. So okay. That all triggers it, which mm-hmm. is nice. Yeah. Not an especially strong leadership. Certainly no Brotherhood leadership.
No. Not even close. Because the
Black Order isn't that great to start with.
No. However, this is I do like this model in general. I think he's really cool.
Oh, yeah, and I think the affiliation's fine.
Just probably. Yeah.
I mean, we don't even know what the tactics cards do.
No, we don't know what the tactics cards are, so we're not going to even speculate on the leadership a whole bunch. But I do want to talk about like some interesting places for this guy in particular.
Well, we need to talk about the back of this card.
Okay, sure. Yeah, we do need to do that. So let's do that.
Important. So he has 8 health on his back. So he has a total of 5 health more than the little guys.
Same
size guys. The non-special guys.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps his builder on the backside.
Which is freaking huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His power generation changes. Instead of just getting 2 dice, he gets a version of Green Goblin's and Sandy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange rule. It is the first time that a rule cares about specifically crits and hits, but not wilds.
Yep. Yeah, and then if it rolls a skull, he takes a damage.
Yes.
So, so he's still perfectly functioning thing on the back, which is fantastic because the other ones do not get that lofty claim.
The builders still, yeah.
So, I have some really silly ideas about where I think this would be fun. First of all, I already like Shuri with Dormammu. What if Shuri could also kill things?
Oh, because it's size 5.
Yeah, well, not just that.
Because it's a Sentinel.
Because it's a Sentinel, and Shuri's, like, regular attack just pushes stuff and doesn't kill anything, right?
Right.
Maximum damage. Dormammu's affiliation is like, I want to kill everything, and this guy seems like he'd fit there pretty well.
Well, and you already want to take Nick Fury Sr. to move Dormammu around, so you might as well move the Sentinel, too.
Yep. Yeah, so I think, okay, first of all, disclaimer, this is bad because Dormammu's not a competitive model at the moment, but it sounds like a lot of fun to have these two just, like, gigantic pieces running around the table, blowing things up, and, the Sentinel putting rerolls for Dormammu, and Dormammu giving this guy a bunch of extra power. Like, the thing about this particular thing is Dormammu loves the Web Warriors because it gives them an extra power to use their web pull on turn one. He also loves Shuri because Shuri lets him reroll his attacks, and mostly his defense is the important thing in a lot of situations. And this guy lets him do both and also can kill stuff. Like,
he's going to take a lot of damage from the leadership, though.
No, he's not.
Spend those rerolls.
Well, so here's the thing. He's not. Turn one, he has two power. He moves up, he web pulls something, and then Dormammu murders it. He gets two power at the end of his activation. Round two, he's at four power, so he can immediately spend her if he wants to. Or he can pull something and then make his plasma blast into seven dice. Right? Like, I think he spends power fast enough that the leadership won't actually be an issue, which is kind of another problem that a lot of the other characters have.
Especially the Web Warriors.
Especially the Web Warriors. and I think you can do lots of interesting things with those two particular abilities and Dormammu. I really like Dormammu, okay? He's one of my favorites.
One of many places. Okay, so speaking of Dormammu, things that Dormammu takes that you should take with the Sentinels all the time. Number one, the Smash card.
Yeah, probably.
So they're all size 5. They can all spend 2 power, smash a size 4 piece of terrain, and they start throwing out, like, 11 or 12 dice builders. Like,
seems okay.
That's gonna do some damage.
Yeah, no big deal.
It's really cool to have the versatility of having more than one model to smash with. Like, Smash is already a pretty powerful card.
Yeah, that's actually really true. I hadn't considered that angle of it, like, being able to do that on lots of parts of the table. That's really strong. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that quite a bit.
Nick Fury Sr. is going to be a big deal, just because he has Medusa's, like, hair flip thing.
Yep.
Or royal decree to move huge bases around.
Yeah. That
moves a ridiculous amount of distance if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, and especially if you're in another, like, if you're in an affiliation where you already get to do that, like Midnight Suns or X-Men Under Storm, those kinds of places, or, like, heck, even under Shield. Sam, yeah, or Shield, where you're moving around and then get placed. Shield would actually really like this guy, wouldn't they?
And his two best friends are affiliated.
Yes.
So I think the best character in the Sentinel affiliation is, of course, the Winter Soldier.
Oh, naturally. Yeah.
So the leadership is great for him because he wants more power. He can trigger it an extra time because it's once per turn, so he can trigger it on Got Your Back turns.
Yeah, which is really strong.
He is a 3 threat, so that you can play 14 without having to be a
You
can
down. Play Prime, a Mark IV, and Winter Soldier and just be at 14.
That's 12. You would play another 2 threat.
Oh, sorry. No, Prime is 5. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah, I thought there were 14 total all day, too. I don't know why. And he can't move the Sentinels, but he can move himself over a huge base,
which is a very, very far distance to travel just out of nowhere.
A long one way to go, if you will.
Yes. Yeah, I think that those are all excellent options with him. And I, again, like, Avengers doesn't need more tools, but these are tools that I think Avengers should look at the very least, because they are kind of what Avengers really want, which is resistance to mystic attacks, more control effects, and then pretty tanky little things to just sort of sit on a point and never, ever, ever move off of it because they can't be thrown by almost anything.
I can't decide if you splash the big one or the little one. Like, that the threat buys a lot, but
yeah, but it is a lot of threat.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's a good question. We should probably talk about how Malekith actually destroys these things trivially constantly.
Oh, I mean, what's there to say? Don't play this affiliation until Malekith gets nerfed.
Yeah, I mean, so specifically the problems are, they don't get to use their good defense against Malekith unless he's energy attacks, isn't he?
Yeah, well, at least it's not physical.
I'm talking about the double wild thing that they get on Mystic.
Oh, sure.
Because Malekith shouldn't be beaming, like, ever. That's
half a success per defense. I'm not
Yeah, fair enough. The other thing is Malekith can throw them, and honestly, that's the worst part of it in a lot of ways, because Malekith throwing a side, like, Malekith is already killing things, but if he charges up into a sentinel and then throws it into the thing behind it, the thing behind it's probably dead.
Yeah.
Well,
and so the biggest problem is that there probably won't be a thing behind it, because Malekith likes to play at low points, and at low points, sentinels are playing like three models. And you can kill one pretty much in activation pretty easily.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Which is
going to be tough.
A big problem. And then he also tends to play with characters that make the Sentinels sad, like Loki with the gem. Like, these guys just hate that because it can push them around and they have to pay extra power to get around his nasty aura. And, you know, stuff like that is just not fun for them at all. So yeah, just be aware that these guys are just not the things that we need them to be to play into Malekith.
Loki can't move them.
Oh, is the gem super? Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Never mind. He can't move them, but he can make their effects all much more expensive, which they also don't like. And he can get away from them too.
Well, yeah. And that's the other problem is like, okay, I'll webline Malekith away. He's like, all right, I'll charge right back in. It's like, hadn't considered that.
Yeah, pretty much. So overall, I think I'm actually way more excited for these guys than I thought I was going to be, because they're a lot more splashable and interesting than I thought they were going to be in other places. I think the models are sick, and I think they're actually going to be really, really fun to play.
Unless you're playing Web Warriors, in which case they just walk all over. It's not close.
Yeah, probably. Web Warriors will have to actually think about Amazing Spider-Man.
Ooh, I'm out.
Fair enough. Alrighty. Well, I think that's about all we've got on this particular topic for today. So in closing...
At least until we play some games.
At least until we play some games with them, which we will. And we'll report back. So in closing, I just want to thank everybody who supports us on Patreon. You guys are the best, and you are the reason that we're able to keep putting articles out on a daily basis for you all. If you want to check that out, it's patreon.com/lineofsightwargaming. If you are a member of the Patreon and you're not a member of our Discord, you should be, because you'll get part of your Patreon rewards there, which is a really fancy colored name in our Discord. That's, I believe it's discord.gg/lineofsightwargaming. But there's also a link in the show notes to this podcast. You should go check that out. There's lots of conversations there happening about all kinds of games, and Marvel Crisis Protocol is one of them. You can email us at admin@lineofsightwargaming.com, or you can email either myself or Brett with our first names at lineofsightwargaming.com. And you should check out our Facebook page, which is just Line of Sight. It's a podcast page where you can see all the articles, the paint jobs, and everything that we post there. And I'm super excited that I'm probably going to get to start painting MCP stuff more full-time very soon. So that'll be super fun. I've got a roster that I'm painting, and it's got really cool models in it that I'm quite excited to do. Look, man, I want to paint Heimdall's rainbow thing. It's sitting right in front of me, and I just can't. It's so annoying.
Haunting you?
Yeah, it's taunting me, especially because I spent all that time on Loki's ice stuff practicing how to paint rainbow things. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. We will see you next time. Bye.